It's Guarding Talk back on to When You Are FM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call on 49216216. Welcome back to the studio once again, Judy.
Oh, thank you very much, Greg.
Very good. Now, we didn't get through all our topics last week.
We didn't, but I thought we should talk about the fact we're sliding down to autumn.
That's exactly right. It's only, I want to say, a month away, 2 months away?
No.
When's autumn start? April?
March.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm sure we'll be corrected if we're wrong.
Guarantee we'll be corrected if we're wrong.
April, May, June. No, March, April, May, then yep. June's winter.
Okay, rightio.
Okay, well, I could be wrong. I'm known to be wrong. So, yes, we'll talk about that. We're sliding down to autumn, so it's time to fertilise the flower beds with poultry manure and some all-purpose plant food. Leave it a week. Wait for the weather to cool, because it's still playing with us a bit, isn't it? Yeah. Before you plant out pansies, primula and poppies.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll look at that a bit more later. We won't sink right into it just yet.
Okay, rightio. So, I've got a little list in case.
And we've got Brian from Adawi, and he's got a problem with some things, his pot plants. He's got black insects in there. Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Afternoon, Judy.
Afternoon to you too. Well, good talking to you again.
This has been on, this subject has been on before some months ago, but I didn't take a lot of notice.
Uh-huh.
We recently repotted an umbrella plant, indoor umbrella plant, with new soil.
Yeah.
And we've got these little black flies coming out of the soil, like hundreds and hundreds of them. I want to know what I could do about it.
Okay. You know what they're called, Brian?
No.
Gnats.
Okay.
Gnats. And they don't do any damage to the plant. I've got them at home too, but it sometimes does come in the mix. I don't know why. But look, all you need to do, Brian, is spray the pot with pyrethrum.
Pyrethrum,
and make sure you give the soil a very good spraying. And that generally deters them.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Who's that little fella in the background?
Oh, that's my stupid dog.
Oh, what's his name?
That's Dusty. Dusty the dog.
Dusty the dog, I like that. Well, give him a pat for me, Brian. I love little dogs.
More like a kick in the bum.
Oh, no. Hey, there's listeners out here. They'll send you to the RSPCA if you're not careful.
He's coming to see who I'm talking about.
Okay, all right. You've got that. Pyrethrum is the answer.
Thanks very much, Judy.
Okay, Brian, thank you for the call, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Guarding Talk back on 2 and You Are FM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, 49216216. Judy, we're getting ready for autumn.
We are getting ready for autumn, and that means just, getting your fertilising ready. A lot of other things you're going to do too. Probably prune the hydrangeas back to two buds. Plump buds. They've got to be plump and they've got to be opposite one another. And then remove the old and spindly wood at the base of the plant and then fertilise. Now, this is interesting, which you'll have all the answers to this, Greg.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah, because hydrangeas can change colour.
Can they?
And why would they change colour?
I would say the soil.
The soil, definitely.
Is the acidity in the soil?
Acidity or alkalinity.
Ah, okay. I was halfway there.
You were halfway there. But there is a special hydrangea. It's a white one.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do?
I don't know. Go white?
Yes, they don't change colour. They don't change colour. So if you want to fix your colour, the secret is you concentrate on whether you want them to be red or you want them to be blue.
Oh.
So if you want them to be blue, you use an acidic soil.
Yep.
Or an acidic fertiliser. Yep. A bit of cow manure would be good.
Yep.
And if you want them the other way, well, then you can just do a little bit of cow manure. Yes, I'm glad you're with me today. Yeah, chicken manure, a little bit of chicken manure, and that will change the colour. But you need to do that prior to them flowering. A lot of people wait and they go, wrong colour.
Yeah.
Too late, yep.
Right, so you can't change your mind once they're flowered?
No, definitely not.
Right.
And you can't change your mind if they're white. They're never going to change from white.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, which is good.
Oh.
Yeah, it is good.
It's Guarding Talk back. So we've got Janice from Khyber, and she's got some issues with a frangipani.
Hello, Janice. What's your problem, dear?
My frangipani didn't flower this year.
Okay.
And it's an old, well, not old one, but it was probably, oh, I don't know, 12 years old. We've had it forever and ever. And it just decided it wouldn't give me any flowers.
Janice, that is most that is very unusual. I mean, they flower so easily, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And I was wondering, you know, did it get too much water at the beginning of the year? Or because I know they don't like having wet feet. Also, I'm wondering if we might have a little bit of a drainage problem with our neighbours. I don't know what the problem was.
Well, you know, have you dug around and just seen how wet the soil is?
No, we'll see, Judy. I'm really not the gardener. I'm the person that just does the maintenance in the garden.
Oh, right, yeah.
My husband does all of that.
I'm getting the message. I think he's even in the background, is he?
Oh, no, I'm in the car, I'm sorry.
Oh, right, that's... Look,
he doesn't know what the problem is either. He thinks it's perhaps we've had a new house put down the side of our, you know, on the side of our house, and it's probably been there about 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and we're wondering if perhaps it's taken too much sun away from that, you know, from the plant.
Sun or too giving it too much water.
Yeah, well, it's one or the other. So.
But are we blaming the new house for both things?
Oh, look, I don't like to, you know, blame the neighbours. They're lovely people. but, you know, could it be either one of those, either too much water or not enough sun?
Look, the sun could be a problem. I don't think the water would be a problem.
Right.
Obviously, you know, we've had rain, and this is the first time it's never flowered.
Oh no, it's so sad.
Okay, look, I think the gardener in the family, he best go out and dig around and just see how wet it is.
Okay, so if it's really, really wet.
If it's really, really wet, well, then you have to try and combat that. Maybe. Is your better half a good trencher? Could he trench down the side of it?
Yes, but, you know, we're all getting on a little bit, Judy, so he can probably do a bit of a hole.
Well, why doesn't he dig the hole till we find out what the problem is?
All right.
Digging the hole, you'll soon find out if it's got real wet feet. But yes. Look, it's a most unusual thing, and maybe some of our other listeners are listening today and can give us a little bit of advice too.
Yes, because we found that perhaps there's quite a lot of frangipanis didn't flower in Cahiba this year, and I can't say the reason why.
No.
Those things, look, you know, and I come into town and there they all are beautifully flowering.
Well, I lived in Cahiba once, and I can't remember I can't remember having problems with flowering. That's for sure. Look, I think probably let's have a look at that danger, that drainage first. Sorry, danger.
That's all right.
We might need James Bond for this one. I'm thinking.
Is your I'm afraid.
Oh, right. I thought he might be. I was hoping. Okay, you're going home now. Let's get the spade out and dig a trench, and you've got time to ring us back before 1 o'clock.
Oh, I'll do my best. Otherwise, I'll give you a tingle next Monday.
That will be wonderful, Janice. And in the meantime, hopefully some listeners might ring in and say, da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
That sounds lovely. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Janice. Bye.
Very grateful. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Vicky from Stockton, and her ground cover plant, Myoporum, was previously lush, now it seems to be dying off.
Oh, Vicky, it's probably a weather problem, dear. Sorry.
Oh, hi, Judy.
Hello. Sorry, I went straight into it, didn't I? Look, it's a native, and I was going to talk about natives today, actually, but we've had a few callers. So, look, the problem possibly is, but Stockton threw me a little bit, because your soil would be very well drained there, wouldn't it?
Yes, we're beachfront at Stockton. I'll just give you a quick history of what's been going on.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, we built a brand new house last year in Stockton, and we went away for 3 months from November to January. And our lovely neighbour, Dale, who we are the worst gardeners in the world. No hope at all of anything ever surviving. But Dale watered everything, and we came back to this beautiful, lush, tropical front yard, backyard. Oh, we were so excited. We were back a week, and all of the ground cover at the front started to die. So, like, really dead. So I went back to the nursery, and they said, oh, look, it's been overwatered. So we said to each other, we're not going to water anymore. We'll let it all dry out, even though it's very sandy soil. So we've replanted another half a dozen where we had to pull out these big clumps that were dead. And we haven't watered in a month. But now there's a whole lot more dying off. But the soil's still very damp, and I just don't know what to do.
Right, okay. Look, I would always say newly planted plants, even natives, would like a drink. So I kind of disagree with that diagnosis a little bit. Can you tell me, was any fertiliser put in that soil?
Originally, we just put sea salt in.
Right. You mean you watered with sea salt, or you put sea salt?
No, we put it whatever the directions said.
Right, okay. Yeah, look, at your soil might be... I think it would probably be alkaline there, wouldn't it, because of the sand?
Probably, and the salt, yeah.
And the salt. But look, normally I would say Myoporum's a good plant to use because they...
Lovely.
Yeah, they should handle the salt. The only other thing is it, like, open to the street?
Oh, very open, yeah.
Okay, yes, well...
Front garden. And the wind is horrendous.
Yeah, and that's always a battle when you're close to the salt. But, you know, is it somewhere where people walk their doggies, I was thinking?
Oh, no, not really.
It's right, okay.
Pistoned off, yeah.
Just covering all bets. I know what my Arthur does when I take him for a walk, you see. But I drag the lead so he doesn't go on anyone's garden. Look, it's a bit of a mystery. I don't know why. I think it's perhaps you might have needed to put fresh soil in before you planted the new ones.
All right. Well, we did topsoil it before these two gardens went in.
Yeah.
And it just seems really odd that they have been looking so amazing. And then the next, like virtually overnight, huge clumps of them are just brown sticks.
Yeah, no, it's very, it is unusual for a Myoporum, but unless the soil you used... you know, it might have had some kind of fertiliser in it.
Yeah, could have done.
Yeah, I'm suggesting perhaps if you're going to put any more in, that you just buy a really good potting mix.
Okay.
And, you know, you will be able to buy a native potting mix.
So if all this continues to happen and we just can't save them and we have to stop repeating the buying process, is there an alternate ground cover that will tolerate the salt air well that you know of?
Look, to be quite honest, I think Myoporum's probably your best choice.
Right, okay.
You know, you could use the native violets.
Oh, yes, yes. Well,
yeah, the native violets, but I think they'll be more prone to the salt burning them because they've got a soft leaf.
Right, okay.
Now, on that note... and I know it's a bit of a problem and I'm not solving it easily for you. Is the Myoporum in the sun?
Yeah, full sun.
Okay, because they love sun. Okay, well, let's go for the replant with some native potting mix.
Yep, okay. Okay. I'll give that a whirl.
And leave the sea salt off, please.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And speaking of sea salt, we've got Judy from Mayfield, and she wants to know if she can use sea salt on vegetables.
Oh, hi, Judy. That's a coincidence, isn't it? were you listening to the last caller? Unfortunately, she wasn't growing vegetables, but, you know, losing plants. So, look, on vegetables, it is better that you use if I could say to you, sea salt tends to promote root growth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're growing vegetables, you know, they're a once-off thing, a seasonal thing. So, but if you plant shrubs, okay, use sea salt. But what I'd be using and I'd recommend to you is flourish okay. for vegetables.
Okay.
And yes, you water that in every week.
Okay, thank you very much.
You haven't used the sea salt, have you?
I've only used it on my pot plants, not on the...
All right. No, that's okay. Look, it won't hurt, but it won't do much good, you know, because you need something more stimulative for vegetables.
Okay, that's a big help. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Judy, for the call. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Phil now from Charmhaven, and his gardening has got a black substance on its leaves.
Oh, Phil, I was going how are you going? I was going to talk about gardenias. I think I might have last week, actually. What you've got on there is sooty mould.
Sooty mould. Yeah.
Sooty mould. And I'd also suggest you might have some scale.
I can't see any as yet.
No scale. Tell me, have you got ants running up and down the plant?
No ants. What it is, it runs across the front of the house, which faces the south.
Yep.
The garden bed runs east-west. It's just started that usually has the sunlight on it.
Yep.
Now the sun's moved.
Yep.
It's just starting to go into the shade area all day, probably the last hour of the day.
Right, that's fine. You know, gardenias will take sun or partial shade. And I have one... I have several going up my drive in between Sasanqua camellias, and I noticed one was very black when I left today, and I know exactly what it is. It's got the scale as well. The ants go up and down to eat the scale. And if you're not seeing ants, but it's the ants...
Not yet,
but they will appear, and they'll carry that sooty mould on their little feet. Little devils. So, look, you're going to have to spray with malathon and white oil.
Malathon and white oil,
yep. And then after that, you might have to spray with some copper oxychloride. And that will get rid of the sooty mould.
Okay, then.
So it's a double whammy there for you, Phil. Sorry, but...
okay, then. No worries.
Good luck. Try that. I'm sure that will make the difference. Yeah.
Okay, then. So I'll put the copper oxychloride about a week later, will I?
Just a couple of days later.
Yeah. Yep,
and, Phil, I'm giving you the same instructions I'm going to do at my place.
Yep. Rightio, then.
Okay. Good luck with
worries.
That. Thank you. Bye.
We've got Vanessa from Walls End, and we've got some good news from Vanessa about a bit of advice you gave her previously, Judy.
Oh, Vanessa, you are a lifesaver.
Oh, that's good. You were a lifesaver for me and my friend Jipani. I don't know if you remember. I rang you and I mentioned that I brought home a massive frangipani. It was the size of a box trailer, and the end of it was all ragged.
We just sort of
snapped it off.
Yeah.
You said don't cut it, just put some soil up in there and fertilise it once a week, which I did, have one tiny root on it. So that was back in June, July. It didn't do anything come spring until late spring. And now it's just a mass of flowers and leaves. So basically we saved it. And being such a large cutting, I feel very thankful for your advice.
Oh, that's
beautiful
fine.
In the garden.
Vanessa, I wish we could help this other lady, Janice, today. You know, hers is a very, very old tree and it suddenly decided not to flower. And she was a bit beside herself, but, you know, I did suggest they went home, she and her husband, but to dig a hole and just check it wasn't getting too much water or something. But anyway, I was hoping you might be able to solve that problem for me too, Vanessa.
Yeah, well, I was in a quandary, how much do I water it? In the winter, I just did the fertilising once a week and I didn't overdo it. I'm giving it a lot more now it's summer and I'm hoping that, you know, it's going to do its thing and lose the leaves and then, you know, get the leaves again next flowering season. And that, you know, at the moment it's putting roots out. So it's just a fine line, a bit of a dig there, I guess, and have a look and see,
what the problem might be. It might be a little bit of a difficult situation for them, but, you know, with next door neighbours. But, you know, they sounded like lovely people. So I hope I'll do some research anyway when I get off air and just see.
I didn't hear the call. I've only just turned the radio on.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, it's a very old tree and it's always flowered. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be. So, you know, we're just checking into the water situation, see what happens. But
is it close to the neighbour's boundary? Maybe it might have been something they did on that their side of the fence that's got the roots. Or,
I tried to handle it diplomatically, Vanessa, but they've gone away to dig and just to check. So, and I said to ring me next week, so hopefully we've got a bit of solution.
Yeah, hopefully. The ongoing story of their Frenchie Penny.
Thank you very much for the call, Vanessa, and I liked that last little hint you gave me, so I might save that up and ring her off air. Okay, thanks, Vanessa, and good luck.
Thank you.
I'm glad it worked out for you, dear.
Oh, yeah, and it's beautiful. I've searched it up. It's called Old Fashioned.
Oh,
I didn't want a modern one because I didn't know what flower it was going to produce. So it's a beautiful, creamy, rich yellow.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful.
Old fashioned.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Very, very good.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice talking to you too, and give your creature there, your puppy, a little pat for me. I'm patting a lot of puppies today.
Oh, we told him you're not allowed to bark while we're talking on the radio.
Oh, but they're smarter than that, Vanessa. Well, thank you very much for the call and letting us know.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And a lot of dogs saying hello to us today.
Yeah, it's very friendly, isn't it, this gardening program?
It is, exclusive.
We're not doing pet chat, though.
No. We just like saying hello to the dogs, that's
we
all.
We do.
And moving along.
Okay, we've got another problem,
We've got Greg from Mount Hutton, and he's looking at maybe his mulberry tree, but wants to know if it's too late in the season to move it.
Oh, okay, Greg. It's still, it's not dormant yet, is it?
No, g'day, Judy, how you going?
Oh, I'm very well, and yourself?
Good. I've sort of bought myself a boat and the mulberry tree's got to move to put the boat someplace. I've moved it's only probably about a 1 to 1.5 inch stump on the mulberry and I've cut it back a fair bit regularly to keep it nice and trained.
Right.
It's too late, you reckon, to dig it out and put it down the back?
It's still got leaves on it, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's shooting like anything.
Yeah. That's probably also too because you've been pruning a little bit. Is the boat there already?
Yes.
Oh, you're putting the boat before the horse, or the cart before the horse.
I am, unfortunately.
Oh, well, okay, Greg, you're asking me, and you know what the answer's going to be. And
yeah,
but
keep
you're going
the mulberry,
to
get rid of the boat.
Well, I could say that, actually, because that would be my answer, but I won't. Look, what I think you're expecting me to say is, yeah, you'll have to move it, Greg, but you are going to have to keep the water up to it.
No, that's okay. We've got a bit of a creek back down the back, so it should get plenty of... it's a moist area I'm putting in anyway.
So. Okay, rightio. Well, make sure you do keep the water up to it.
Probably about a 2-foot round circle or a hole to dig out, or...?
Oh, I think so. Well, you know how... Well, how long's it been in, Greg?
Oh, probably about a year or two. I only got it from a cut and she's shooting up pretty good. So.
Oh, right, okay. Look, I think you might survive. It might survive.
Fantastic.
As long as you don't go out in the boat too often and neglect it.
It's my retirement present, so I've got to use it all the time.
I shall await a call from you and let us know in a couple of weeks.
All right, I'll let you know if I get any fish. That's good.
Thanks for the call, Greg. I hope we've helped.
Thanks, Judy. I'll give you an update later on.
Okay, please do that. I'm genuine.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Greg. It's Gardening Talk back on to when you are FM. Judy Sharp, got a couple more minutes left before we call it another week, but you want to look at natives before as well.
Well, natives, or should we finish off a couple of other February things?
Oh, maybe we'll do February things.
Okay, considering all right? Sorry.
Well, yeah, that's all right. No, because next week will be March.
It will be too, yeah.
Yes, it will be. Just
Okay, look, I wanted just to talk about ground-grown roses and potted ones because, you know, in February, a lot of people do prune their roses in the ground and in pots. But what I've done with mine, I've given mine a good hefty dose of sudden impact.
Rightio.
And the beauty of that is you can use it on pots as well. So that's one topic we can... everyone can take that on board now. And the other one I wanted to mention was azaleas. Now, they are, it's a time of year, they start to get covered in spider mite. You know what that looks like, don't you?
Well, explain it to people who don't know what it looks like.
You're one job ahead of me today, Greg. The leaves go, they appear to be brownish, and then they discolour. And when you look on the back, there's these tiny little spider, well, how do I describe them? They're like little dots, dots.
Yep.
And what you need to do with that is to get that David Gray systemic, which you can still buy, and you need to put that around the roots because you cannot get anything else now to spray them with. But that gets absorbed through the roots. The David Gray's systemic spray.
Systemic spray.
Systemic with an S.
Yep.
Systemic. Was I saying that incorrectly?
That's right. It's not spelling bee.
Okay. So, look, we've covered that topic and that kind of clears up everything now for February.
Rightio. And we get ready for March, I guess.
We get ready for March. Does that suit you today?
That suits me today.
Okay.
Do have a little bit of time left, though, so if you've got anything else.
Oh, okay, rightio.
If you wanted to hit those natives.
Oh, well, I'll hit the natives. That's not a problem at all. Now, the reason it hit me, you know, when I was watching the television and the news in the last couple of weeks, over the few weeks, that all those big eucalypts. Now, you and I have had a chat off air and you've got big eucalypts at your place. Right, okay. Well, you know, they're not very conducive to small gardens. They are, you know, they grow too tall and they're very prone to snapping off and hitting roofs of houses.
I've been told that.
Hopefully not by the neighbours. But anyway, so we'll dispose of those if you're doing a new planting, but let's try grevilleas.
Rightio.
Now, grevilleas are fantastic plants. Suggestion of names, Robin Gordon, Misty Pink and Moonlight.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Judy Sharp. And go with those names next week.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.